Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Verse 21 together. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wow. Lord Jesus, this is a phenomenal prescription for being able to live under the auspices of the Holy Spirit. To have a complete surrender to you, Lord, nothing less than that will work in the economy of the kingdom of God. And Lord, I hope it doesn't seem impossible or just beyond the reach of those that are here, because somehow by your Holy Spirit, you'll teach us. Jesus, you're amazing. And Lord, somehow the person who thought they were so far from you today, somehow you'll draw them close to you and they'll be able to surrender everything to you. Holy Spirit, do the work that you do best. And Lord, bring us into your presence in such a way that we will not be the same because of what you're doing. We thank you for this. We praise you for this. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said.
Amen.
You may be seated. When we chose to follow Jesus, and I'm talking collectively with all of us, there are often times he would make commandments and statements that people just kind of muse over and say, how in the world is that even possible? Commands he gave to us would... Rather than allow ourselves to get caught up in the thinking that this is an assignment for those who are gifted in evangelism, we might consider discipleship as more about being caught than what's taught. In other words, you are mirroring to one another what the whole principles of the Bible is about. He says, I beseech you. Beseech you means, he says, it's almost like saying, listen to what I've got to tell you. Present your body as a living sacrifice to God, and the problems will be limited. The problem I think that most of us face, myself including, is that sometimes I'm committed and sometimes I'm not. Come on, work with me, folks. Sometimes I'm saved, sanctified with the Holy Ghost and fire, and other days, I don't know what's going on. I know I love Jesus. But I don't believe that the Lord would allow something to be written that's totally impossible for us to achieve. Let me ask some questions and then we'll move right into the message. First of all, do you have a plan of how you will grow spiritually? I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to hope for the best. Good luck with that, because it won't work. He says, you've got to present your body to the Lord every single day. You have to die to self every single day. Come on, man, I did that yesterday. What's wrong with that? And I want to show you how to do it rather than just kind of derail on this whole idea. Let's go to number two. Does the thought of you becoming a spiritual leader concern you? I want to let you know that every single one of you in this auditorium is a spiritual leader, whether you like it or not. Somebody's following you. What? On your job, I don't care if you have the lowest job that's there as you see it, somebody's watching you. And your attitude and your reflection upon the things that are happening to you will be either bring them closer to Jesus or drive them further away. Let's go to number three. Have you come to the resolve that your one and only step that you can do is to present your body to the Lord? That's all you can do. And we're going to define that as great as we can. The greatest threat to discipleship is those who will not surrender completely to the Lord. Matthew 12:30. He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. That's the summation of what we're doing. If we're not for the Lord 100%, guess what? If 99.5% won't do. There's sometimes I got to leave a margin of error. No, Jesus says, present your entire body to me. And so the idea is, if we're not for Jesus 100%, you might as well be against him. Valentine's Day is coming. I said Valentine's Day is coming. Stay away from that rack. with them big old hearts on there. I love you with all my heart, baby. You're my sugar baby and all sorts of type of thing. And you as mean as Joe Green. I mean, you just downright mean. You're a mean person. But one day of the year, you're going to get some flowers, get some candy, and try to work it out. I want to know what happened the other 364 days. I'm going to try to help somebody today. Unconditional surrender to the Lord is the only way we can be a disciple of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Unconditional surrender means this: is we don't get to call the conditions. We're really to present our body to God, and God can do whatever he wants to do. And it goes like this. The root word for disciple is discipline. And discipline involves things that aren't always easy to do. Let me move on from that. Discipleship is a choice to put aside our own personal agenda. And maturity is the goal of a disciple, is to be like Jesus. Now, you'd think it awfully strange if you had a child, they never grew. You just changing diapers on somebody that's 14? Oh, no, baby. No. You're going to have to do something here. Work it out. We were designed to grow. And so this whole discipleship thing is a beautiful thing. Well, if we do not commit to the discipline of discipleship, we will drift. D-R-I-F-T. I got this from Darwin Gray. It was an article that I read, and I sent it to my son this last week. And I think it's worth mentioning. Because if you do not have a plan to grow in Jesus, you will drift away from him. You don't have to do anything. And that's part of the reason why you'll drift, is you're not doing anything. Put a boat in the middle of the river, turn it loose. Is it going to stay in the same spot? Mm-mm. Whatever way the current goes, that's the way it goes. And that's the reason why you're so pitiful. Whichever way the current goes, that's where you go, oh, yeah, Jesus, say, oh, everything's... You're a mess. But I need to tell you something. For those of you who are kind of trying to figure out, you know, I don't know whether I want to serve Jesus. I wonder where I want to serve, you know, serve the devil. I want to tell you something. For those of you who are kind of caught on the fence, the devil will always take you back. Always. He's reserved a place for you. Matter of fact, he's wooing you all the time. You can come back. I know them Christians ain't treating you, but I'll take you back. Really? Let's move on this. It says, if we're not with Christ, we're against him. And you say, that's too harsh. I really love Jesus. I just got issues. Present your body a living sacrifice. Well, if we're not gathering with him, we're scattering or hindering other folks from coming to the Lord. Can I talk to you about that for a moment? I think the worst thing that any one of us would want to be is a stumbling block to someone else coming to Jesus. I really believe that. I'm taking the very best shot I can at all of us. None of us would like to be the hindrance of someone coming to Jesus. Am I with you? Are you with me with that? So I want to help you and help us not to be that hindrance of a person who either says, does, or kind of pretends to be something, somebody that they're not. Well, the first D of this whole process as we drift away is if we are not committed disciples to Jesus, we will become distracted. You know what distraction means? Lose your focus. See, some of you are more concerned about your television program that comes on at 10 o'clock, 9:30, whenever yours comes on. You're not going to miss it. And they got it fixed now. You don't have to miss none of them. Just put it on that VCR, DCR, whatever thing is, and you can watch it all. And you'll stay up halfway through the night, be late for work just to watch that next episode. Blessed quietness. Jesus made it clear that anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. That's Jesus' quote. You put your hand to the plow, but you're always wondering what they're doing. I think one of the best things for some of you to do is close your Facebook account. If you spend as much time on Facebook as you do on your knees, your life would be different. Oh, Jesus, I know you wish you stayed on. It's too late. You go now. We know why, okay? The enemy is a master creating distractions to keep us from moving forward in God. You make all things new. I will follow you forward. How are you going to follow God forward? You're going backwards. You're driving, looking in your rearview mirror. Well, praise him, Jesus. When we surrender to Christ, we are no longer conforming to the things of the world. I got to move on quickly because I got a lot of stuff to cover. We're drifting away from Jesus when we allow the good gifts that he's given us to go to waste on the things of this world. That's not always a slow drift. It's kind of a fast acceleration. Every person sitting in this auditorium is gifted from God. All gifts are diverse, but they all belong to Jesus. He gave them to you, but he also gave them to you to give to other folks in the body and folks outside of the body. But he gave them and trusted them to you. Let me show you how that works. If we're not focused on the things of the kingdom, our old patterns will reemerge. Well, you thought you were dead to that particular thing? They call you enough times, wave it under your nose a few times. Well, I'll just take just a little, you know. How about this? As we drift, we cannot possibly grow because we are not planted and will live a life that's unstable. Here's what the Bible says. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And some of us try to manage our instability by, you know, say, well, I'll just sit down, you know, I'll try to make it look like I am. Eventually, that whole plan will fall apart because it will go back to default and you'll continue in that pattern that you had set before. How do I know? I've seen it happen. I've done it before in my own life. I'm not talking to you as some big kahuna in this whole deal, but I want to share you with some things that I've learned. We will not live our life as one who's truly in Christ. Now, one other thing I'll tell you about this. If we're not complete in Christ's love, this is so important. If you don't get anything else I tell you today, this is the one. If you are not complete in Christ's love for you, for us, we will constantly be distracted looking for someone to love us. Woo, Jesus. If my wife would only love me like I love her, everything would be fine. Good luck. Because we all have this idea in our mind that we deserve a certain level of love that will make us feel good, that will make us feel validated. You know, that love can only come from Jesus. But let me tell you how this works. Hold on. I got good news. When you let Jesus fill you with his love, then you'll know how to love other people. Because your love by itself is not enough. Your love is sometimey, it's questionable. I give you a whole list of things that it ain't. If you want to find out, for, you know, Corinthians chapter 13 says, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Your love is not like that. You do that one more time and you are out of my life forever. Thank you. Don't ever, as long as you live, think that's okay. If Jesus did that, this room would be empty. Do you hear what I'm saying? So when God deposits his love inside of you, and you give it to that other person, it's not, emotion is a wonderful thing. It's, oh, baby, I love you. Sugar mama, oh, you is the best. Oh, honey, baby, sugar pie, honey, but you know how much I love you, Kane. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Point being, Jesus is the only one who can love you right. When he will allow him to deposit love in your heart, he keeps depositing and you give that away. Believe me, that's the type of love everybody needs. Somebody say amen. That's how it works. Our love at its best will always be lacking if we have not allowed Christ to fill every space of our heart. And our mind will experience renewing once we realize that true love only comes from God and is transferred through us by submission to the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you how to pray. We're kind of in a quandary where you're kind of mixed emotions about someone. Holy Spirit, teach me how to love. First, you've got to admit you don't have it so you can get it. If you think your love's okay, good luck with that. But I believe that God wants to fill us with the things that are important. The R in drift is a constant reminder, a need to repent and do things the way God wants us to. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you're drifting, one of the things that we'll be reluctant to do is repent and say, you know what? I was so wrong. What I said was so ugly. What I said was so bad. I need to take responsibility for that. And I need your forgiveness. Will you forgive me? Someone join him. Otherwise, everybody will think you're backslid. Repent. I ain't repenting until she does. Good luck. When he tells me how wrong he was, or when she tells me how bad she did me, or how she talked to me, or how she hung up, or how she didn't answer my text message. Pitiful. We will give ourselves leeway and make excuses for our lack of submission to God. I'm only human. The Bible says that Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin. You say, well, yeah, he's the Son of God. Every pain, every frustration, every temptation you face, Jesus knows how you feel. And that's why he gives you the opportunity for you to come to him and allow him to deal with your feelings. If you live on your feelings, good luck. It ain't going to work. Well, we will claim our humanity as an excuse for not allowing the spiritual reborn soul to control our lives. Another part of drifting, we will drift away from the Lord simply because of, here's the five-letter word that's killing all of us. P-R-I-D-E. Holy Spirit comes along and says, you know what? You need to call that person up and apologize. I didn't do nothing. She said it first. Repent. Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's the first thing, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I'll heal their land. You know the word, the only word, if you leave it out, that makes this invalid is, if you will humble yourself and pray. You know what humility means? I need help. I can't make this on my own. Incredible. Well, the I, then if we repent, is intentional acts of obedience. What does that mean? It means we will try to use the grace of God as our defense for sinful behavior. Grace is not something that we dispense. God dispenses grace. Well, they should be more gracious. They should be more tolerant. They should be more loving and forgiving and this type of thing. You cannot demand grace from anyone. Grace comes from God. And the other thing you need to realize, and I realize this, is God's mercies are renewed every morning. If they weren't, none of us would survive. Here's a question. Ever forgot about something bad you did? And then all of a sudden, or something you should have, I was supposed to do that, this type of thing. And the only thing that will help you in that situation is someone being gracious enough to forgive you for what you forgot to do. Oh. So what I'm saying here in the I is an intentional act of obedience. We will try to use grace as that defense, but the other thing is we will run to other things other than Jesus to satisfy our desires and our needs. And we sing the song, he's all I need, he's all I need. Jesus is all I need. You're lying, you're lying. Because if something comes along, honey, you are out the door. I won't use that example because I don't want to bury anybody alive. We will rely on self-sufficiency, listen to this, vices, people-pleasing, or things that will appeal to our flesh. Now, I inserted that word vices. That's not a word we use very often nowadays because it's hard to figure out what vices are nowadays. You say, well, what do you mean it's hard to figure out? Well, they legalized marijuana. It's not a vice anymore. It's kind of a recreational drug, right? Da-da-da-da. I just need to go recreate. I'll be back soon. The world is trying to redefine for you various elements that you can turn to try to get yourself some sort of pleasure. And I want to let you know, the Word of God makes no allowances for those things. Wrong is still wrong. You say, well, Pastor, don't be saying all these things. Because sometimes I just need to relax. Oh, really? I need to, you know, kind of chill. Can I take you back to the song? He's all I need. Oh, this is going to get ruthless pretty soon. Let's go on to the word F. I love this one. John, darn crazy. Fake fellowship. What's fake fellowship? Some of you are masters at it. Praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you came over. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just glory. She is something else. The girl's a witch on a stick. I mean, you know. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Honesty and integrity are no longer a part of our relationship with people. Now, you don't have to be mean to folks, but this idea of just trying to cozy up to folks to tell people what you think they want to hear. If there's any fellowship or compassion, do nothing from emptiness or for emptiness of conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. If you adopt the idea that there's people more important than me, you'll be okay. But when you make your entrance, excuse me. And you get all sideways when people go, nobody recognized me. Really? Will you stop making it about you and making it about him? There's something about it. When you really have Jesus in your heart, you can. The Holy Spirit lights up the room when you come in. But if the Holy Spirit ain't in you, he can't light up nothing. Wow. We will come to fellowship only to be seen and supposed to be a part of the community of believers. Some of you come to church because you don't want nobody calling. You say, why didn't you go to church? I didn't see you at church the last 3 weeks. You're just punching in and punching out. This is not a time card event. God sent you here today to be a blessing to somebody. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're going to have fellowship time in a little while. Where you're going to look them in the eyes and they'll say, well, you know, things aren't going very well. Do you know what? God has commissioned you to pray for them. If we're stuck in ourselves, oh, things aren't going well, having a little trouble at home. Well, God bless you. God will work it out and you move on. Hello? And you're a part of the body of Christ? There's something wrong with that. That's called fake fellowship. You know, and you pushing people out of the way, you can go run to make sure you get your cookie, the one you want. Well, don't be taking those. That's the last one, honey. Jesus wants me to have it. Oh, you're something. You are something else. Jesus, help them. Okay. We can only hide our devotion to things other than Christ for so long without being found out. Let me move on. You know, that was one of the number T for drift is treasuring something or someone more than Christ. Luke chapter 12, verse 34. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Can I break that down for you without being condemning? And I really want to be very sensitive with this. But when you have an obsession for certain things that you feel like you've got to do this or you've got to have this before your life will be perfect, I want to let you know your treasure's in the wrong place. And only you can figure that out. Let me show you what that looks like. The human heart is made for worship. And every single person in this room right now is worshiping either someone or something. There's not one person that is drawing breath in this room that is not worshiping someone or something. You may not even be a believer yet, so if you're not a believer yet, there's something that's very important in your life that you feel like you just can't make it without, and you will find it back to that, whether it's drugs, whether it's a person, whether it's an occupation, doesn't matter. We're all worshiping something because we're designed that way. Tell me further about that. We can only hide our devotion to things other than Christ for so long without being found out. Well, that's more important for her to, or more important to him to. And once they say that about you, there's no real argument. The truth is out. Let me talk about cures for drifting, and I'll do the best I can in the next few moments. The only cure for drifting is unconditional surrender. Like it says, I present your body to the Lord with an unconditional surrender, which looks like this. Confess to God or renounce other gods that you have allowed to displace him. You say, well, I don't have any gods before God. Yes, you do. Well, that's mean. No, it's not. It's just the truth. Practically, how does that mean? Allow God's grace to cover you in the community of believers that will encourage you to walk, encourage you in your walk with the Lord, and defeat the devil by warning someone who is headed for where you once were and let them know that it's not worth it. If I took together all the experience of people in this room who just kind of got off at some point on the wrong path, I'd say, you don't want to do that. You don't want to go there. And they won't say it to you contemptuously. They say, you know what, I tried that. I tried to find all my fulfillment in the world, it didn't work. Or I tried to find all my fulfillment in a person, it didn't work. The only thing I found out is everything I need is in Jesus. Well, complete surrender will foster maturity. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Every single one of us are in God's hands, and God will increase us in maturity. He will do that, but there's some things, so responsibilities that we have. It goes like this. Only God can grow anything. Somebody say amen. You know, he made everything. There's not anything that was made that God didn't make. Okay, we can work with that. He's a source of all life. He's a source of all growth, even through trials and tests and tribulations. God involves us in our own growth as well as the growth of the church body. Now, if you're not being watered by the word, do you think you're going to grow in Jesus? Uh-uh. Nor will you be able to water anyone else or cause them to grow. It's a mutual thing. Furthermore, God gives us indicators to point to us in the right type of growth that will build his kingdom strong. Romans chapter, back to 12, verses 9 through 12. This is great. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and in honor and giving of preference to one another. Moving on. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in the spirit, serving in the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Oh my. Well, that's a mouthful. If you're ever wondering whether you're growing, read this particular chapter over and over again. Say, ooh, yeah, that steadfastly. Ooh, yeah, not diligent. Ooh, Lord. Mm-mm. Patient in tribulation, that is not me. No, no, no. No, 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 no. Then there's another piece of it we'll get to in a moment. But the idea of it is, if you start with being kindly affectionate to one another, brother love, in honor, in preference, giving preference to one another. Let me stop at that piece. It's hard not to not want to be first. Now, they have concerts next door at the Wonder Ballroom. It's the craziest thing. The concert starts at 7. They start lining up at 2 in the afternoon. It's like, you know, just the time at Best Buy when they have one particular, you know, big screen TV for $100 or whatever. People will, they will camp for 3 and 4 days. Somebody's waving and saying, yeah, I did that, yeah, that was me. Don't you have a job? No, let me give you the other part of it. I know of people who have taken their vacation time for 3 days to save $300. Now, if you're working at McDonald's, that may be a good deal. I don't get it. Lord, help me. Pray for me. But the right type of growth that we'll get is, he instructs us to be the type of love that we should have that will bring him glory. Or he gives us the character of heart, of his heart, as it relates to evil. And I tell you what, unless you have come to an agreement with God as to what he says is evil is really evil, you will never grow. I don't think stealing is that bad. I mean, it's bad if you get caught. I mean, all them big corporations, they got all that money, and I don't have no money. If I just take a little something, and I take one of my clothes, I don't know what everybody's all upset about. You got a problem. Serious problem. So what am I saying? He encourages us to hold fast for the things that are good. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. God opposes the proud, but will give grace to the humble. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. I'm just about done. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, look at that, always obeyed. Whoa, okay. Not as in my presence only. Jesus, help us. Okay, but now, much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Somebody say amen. God is working in you right now. If you're submitted to the Holy Spirit, he's working in you right now that all the things you thought you would never be able to do, you'll be able to do them because the Holy Spirit, as you yield to him, is working in you right now. Come on, applaud Jesus. He's working right now. He will empower us to do and be everything his word says that we can be. Don't start quoting, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, you can. But remember, through Christ, who strengthens you. We do not work on our salvation or for our salvation, but rather we work out our salvation by daily submitting to God. Do you get that? We don't work on it. We don't work for it. We work it out by daily submission. I'll give you one or two more things. No one wanders into spiritual maturity. That means, basically, we are walking by faith in Jesus Christ who saved us, and maturity will only come when we are committed to truth and righteousness. That means we walk into spiritual maturity by opening the scriptures, engaging in prayer, and focusing on the disciplines of a committed believer's life. Sometimes I don't like reading. I don't like reading. Why don't you just tell me I like being stupid? He said, what? David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not. Our consciences are weak because we don't have the word to counteract the sinful things the devil will put in his place. Because the Holy Spirit will say, wait a minute, didn't you read in the Bible the other day that, you know, lying's wrong? Really? Stealing's wrong? Yeah, really? Committing acts of adultery are wrong? Really? Now, here I go. Brace yourself. All you folks that are hopelessly in love, you engaged. You know where I'm going with this. We engage. We go get married in 2017. Then why are you sleeping with her? Or why are you sleeping with him? But we're committed. You need to be committed to God. And God made some outline how that thing's supposed to work. And you're not going in direction of what Scripture says. Somebody help me out here. Is that true? Or did I make that up? But here's the thing I hear. I'm only human. Really? I wouldn't expect you to be anything other than that. But God will never command you to do something that He will not empower you to do. Seems pretty simple. Okay, let me wind this down pretty quick. Worship team, come up here, and that'll slow me down, maybe. One of the greatest joys of a true disciple is experiencing the joy of giving to others in need. Romans chapter 12, 13. We'll get through this. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. You say, what? How does that fit into the whole equation here? You're talking from all this sin stuff to me giving stuff. I don't know about that. Yeah, we're going to work you over. Our greatest gift, the greatest gift that we can give is our time. And sometimes it's just our time personally, or the time that we invested, we made money, and we give money to other folks that need it. God has called us to a spirit of generosity. Somebody say amen. Amen. And God will speak to you at some point and say, you know what? You've got two, give one of them away. Or you've got money, give them some money. And not some little chump change. Let me move it a little bit further with this. Hospitality is generosity at its finest, offering a pleasant and welcoming environment. Our mindset in surrender to Jesus is to be subject to things that are not embraced commonly in the world. That means learning how to bless people when you know really, when you really don't like, people who really don't like you is a discipline that is not easily embraced. Maybe God will tell you to do this. There's somebody you've had, you just don't like them. At work. Let's be honest. You don't like her. You don't like her. You don't like him. And God's going to tell you one day to buy him lunch. You say, what? Her? Bless those who curse you. To temper our reaction, not to retaliate against people who have deeply offended us, is a grace we must allow the Holy Spirit to do in us. Compassion and empathy are richly imparted to those who will surrender the mind, the will, and the emotions. Let me give you this last little phrase here. God will recalibrate the way we think of ourselves in relationship to others. We will find a level of surrender that will be honored by Jesus. Romans 12, 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I have no desire to belittle anyone or to make you feel less than a person or less than a man of God or a woman of God. But the very thing that got Satan kicked out of heaven was the fact that he thought he was a lot more important than he really was. And unfortunately, all of us can be subject to that same illusion. That we think we deserve more or we're better than other folks. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Now, this is the thing I'll leave you in. God does not have three wills. Well, God has a good will, God has an acceptable will, and God has a perfect will. Whoever taught you that, that's nonsense. God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. All three of them, not just department. I just think I'll be in the goodwill of God today. Or I'll just do what's acceptable of God today. No. Oh, I'll do what's the perfect will of God. I'm feeling real spiritual. I want to pull all this together in these last few moments and let you know that Jesus wants all of you. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.